Turn to the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. Philippians in chapter number 1 this morning. Philippians in chapter number 1. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is tucked into this passage. And not our text this morning, but we're going to read it together. Verse number 6, so you can pay attention to it as we read it. But we're going to finish in verse number 7 together. And in our text and message, the title of the message this morning will come from that last phrase of verse number 7. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Philippians is one of those letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. It's in the New Testament, and it's getting pretty close to the end of your Bible. And Philippians and chapter number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 7, just a short passage. And so let's read together in unison. We'll read all the verses together in unison. Brother Jerry, I need a little more up here if you can do that. And if you would, thank you. Philippians 1, 1 through 7, reading together. Ready? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul, of course, is writing to the believers, the saints, in verse number 1 mentioned. That's the believers. That's not people that a group of people in funny hats get together and vote on. That's all believers. Amen? And the saints. And so he's talking to God's people at Philippi. And he says to you, in verse number 2, grace be unto you. He said, let me paraphrase. I want you to experience the grace of God like I have. Grace be unto you. I want you to experience the goodness of God, God's undeserved favor, as I have. And so he begins his letter to them, wishing them to experience the grace and peace of God. And then in verse 7, he ends and with this little phrase and speaks of the fact you all are partakers of my grace. Ye all, the folks to whom he's writing, folks to whom he has led to the Lord and helped to grow in the Lord. And he says, ye all are partakers of my grace. And I want to speak to you on that subject this morning. Father, please through the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that through this message, Lord, we'd understand, first of all, the grace of God in our own lives and how that grace, Lord, needs to overflow from us to bless others. And may, Lord, may many, many others be partakers of your good grace in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love biblical language. I love the way the Bible talks to us. I love the way people in the Bible talk to each other. Keep your finger here in Philippians 1. And go with me over, if you would, to the book of Romans. And go to the end of the book of Romans. So you're going back in your Bible. And we're going to chapter 16, which is is the last chapter in Romans. Keep your finger in Philippians. Go back, if you would, about 50 or 60 pages. And you'll get to Romans and Romans 16. I love Bible talk. I love the way folks in the Bible talk to each other. Paul writes, as he closes this letter, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. Amen. That's why we talk that way. Amen. I've told you about Eric that I got saved. I was a teenager working my first paycheck job at Domino's Pizza, and he was my cussing boss. And he walked in the door one day. I've witnessed to him time and again. And he walked in the door and said, "Hey, brother." And I was like, "What, brother?" And he told me about how he'd gotten saved. Pulled over on the side of the road under conviction, knelt down, asked Christ to save him. Amen. And now he called me brother, and he's my brother in Christ. Why? We have the same Heavenly Father. Amen. I like that. I like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And that's the way God's people talk. Amen. You might say dog. We say brother. Amen. You might say homie. We say sister. Amen. I mean, that's just the way God's people talk. Amen. How many of you saved? Say amen. Yeah, I like the way God's people talk. Amen. Anyway. And he commends this sister Phoebe. He says in verse number 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And in other words, that's what saints of God's, what believers ought to do. And that ye assist her, help her out in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, which means a helper, somebody that comes along beside, someone that runs to a person. You know, you ever know that person when there's a need? You know so-and-so. As soon as they hear it, they're going, if there's something they can do about it, they don't tell anybody, they just go right to it. They find them, they hear about a need, they want to go right to it. And that this was her. Phoebe was like that. And then Paul said, this lady, man, she helps people out. And so you help her out. Be a blessing to her. She's been a succorer of many and of myself also. She's helped me many times. And verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That's a sweet couple. They've helped me, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that's in their house. They started a church in their house. Salute my well-beloved. Well-beloved, that's a nice little thing. Oh, well-beloved, well-beloved. Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia, unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved. Beloved. That's a good word right there. Amen. My beloved. My beloved. You know, the longer you stay in the family of God and stay around the people of God, the more you're going to feel that way about God's people. My beloved brother. My beloved sister in Christ. Salute Urbane, our helper. That's a good word right there. Verse 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Boy, if anybody has a thumbs up from the Lord, it's Apelles. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. The reason I'm reading this passage is so you know I can pronounce these big names. Amen. I think you might be impressed. Anyway, verse 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman. Oh, Herodian. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And anyway, we'll stop right there. But don't you like the way God's people talk? Oh, beloved brother, beloved sister. Oh, what a helper. Boy, in the Lord. Boy, if anybody's... We sign our letters. Love in Christ. That's Bible. We got that from the Bible. Amen. Love in Christ. And it's an appropriate expression of love. I don't ever walk up to a lady and say, I love you. But I say, we love you. And I say, God's people love you, care about you. Amen. Amen. We'd be appropriate, of course. But the God's people, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. I'm glad. You don't have to do anything crazy to fit in here. He's with the Lord now, but Brother Stacy went to Papua New Guinea, and he was a motorcycle gang. He was rough before he got saved. And Brother Stacy Meadows, he made a pact with one of his buddies. He said, if you die first, then I'll do this for you. If I die first, you do it. And they made a pact to each other. And when his buddy died, they lowered his casket into the ground. Stacy Meadows jumped down in the hole on the casket, put a line of coke and snorted a line of coke on his buddy's casket. Now, I got news for you. If that's what your friends do, you need some new friends. If getting wasted is what you do when you get together, you need some new friends, my friend. If killing brain cells is what you do when you get, you need some new friends. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I need all the brain cells I can keep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to voluntarily kill them, that's for sure. Anyway, but you know, the family of God, man, you don't have to do anything illegitimate to fit in. Amen. How many of you are saved by the good grace of God? Amen. Now, the devil tells you, you don't belong there. That's unscriptural. Because Ephesians, Paul said, we are accepted in the beloved. See, the premise of that thought is that to be accepted, you have to measure up. No, to be accepted in the family of God, you have to be unworthy. You have to be a sinner.
Amen.
Saved by grace. Amen. Now, if you're not even saved, we still love you. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not going to hang out with you and do things you do. We're going to love you. But you get saved, the Bible said, you're accepted in the beloved. Amen? So it's an outsider that comes to your little noggin and says, you don't fit in. Those people don't like you. That's an outsider.
Amen.
Speaking into your mind. That's somebody who don't belong. He doesn't belong here. Amen? And all his cohorts don't belong here. And all of his crowd doesn't belong here. We're God's people. We're God's people. We've experienced the grace of God. Amen?
Amen?
I like that song we sing with our kids. Amen? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore.
Amen.
The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Amen? How many say, Pastor, I don't do some of those things I used to do. Raise your hand and wave it at me. Look around, everybody. Look around. Hey, we don't do the things. Some of you say, Pastor, I don't do them as often. Hey, I'll take that. That's growth in grace. Amen. And then one day you'll get to the place you say, I don't do them anymore. Amen. But this is the family of God. This is the way we look at each other. We love each other. We speak to each other. Calvin tells me all. Pastor, I love you. I love you, Calvin. Man, this is a family of God. You know what? We get caught up in it sometimes. We get critical sometimes. We start sizing each other up. The Bible says we always make a mistake when we do. They comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise for you. Not wise for you. Look around. So I don't think I'm like that. I don't think I fit. It's not wise. Two reasons it's not wise. Number one, because you're going to come, there's only two conclusions you come to. I'm not as good as they are. Or I'm better than they are. And neither one of them bring a good end. Amen. You think you're better than somebody, there's no good end to that. Or you go in the corner, suck your thumb and say, well, I don't fit in around here. Nobody likes me. There's no good end to self-pity. So quit all that stuff. Amen. Quit all that. And find something good to encourage each other about. Amen. Somebody, I hope you don't mind this. Damien, can I use you for a minute? All right. Damien told me, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, he said, Pastor, I'm getting my hair cut. I said, hey, that's great. And I said, man, you see that in the Bible? He said, that's in the Bible. I said, yeah. And we sat down and looked at 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. He goes, that is in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I like it. I like it. People come to me and they say, Pastor, but our social class used to be back here. And I remember, he's with the Lord now. He's with the Lord now. And I lost his name all of a sudden. But anyway, he's with the Lord now. Lived right over here on Thornsdale Street. If you come up with his name. Hersey. He's with the Lord now. Lived right around Thornsdale Street. I never forget the Sunday school class. He said, Pastor, I just went through my first New Year's Eve, and I can't remember when without getting drunk. And the class said, yeah! Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. That ball really does drop. It really does. He didn't know it. I don't watch the ball drop, but I'd rather be in the family of God. People say, oh, we had a great time. I was with that crowd over there. We had a great time. And I don't remember what we did. I don't remember where we were. I don't remember whose bed I woke up in, but we had a great time. Oh, hogwash. Man would say, we have a great time. I don't have to worry about what I caught.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about what I did or who I might have hurt. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
You say, how'd you get here? Same way anybody else did. By the grace of God Almighty. Paul was if Paul lived today, we'd call him a terrorist. If Paul lived today, he'd be in that group of murderers that came across the border on October the 7th and slaughtered little innocent babies, hailed men and women, drug them to their death. That was the Apostle Paul. But you know what the Apostle Paul, God was after him. Amen? God was after him. And God knows how to get your attention. By the way, if God is speaking to you, you know, my father is sitting right down in the second row, and I'm going to say this and note with no bitterness in my heart. A little bit of a grudge, but no bitterness. But my dad would tell us things, and guess what? If he told us something and we didn't learn it, he had a special piece of leather that he wore around his waist, and he would teach us what he would try to speak to us, but he would teach us. Amen? The Bible word is chastisement. Chastisement. You know what it means? It means a whooping. I didn't get spanked. I got whooped. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And some of you have those of you that are about to choke to death, just relax a little bit. Breathe in, breathe out. This is the way America used to operate, all right? This is the way America used to operate. And anyway, but now we're enlightened. Amen? We just know everything. We don't know if we're a boy or a girl, but we know everything. And anyway, the teachers had a special board. They had boards of education. They had one in every classroom. The principal had a board of education. Amen. And when applied to the seat of learning, miraculous things would happen. Amen. Some of you that have been to indoctrination camps are having a hard time right now. Hey, listen. What I'm saying is this. The pattern is the Lord. I'm in this thing by the good grace of God. And when I get hard-headed, God in His grace, sometimes He chastises me. Sometimes a trial sets me straight. Sometimes a need sets me straight. But I'm here not because I'm worthy. And I'm worth chastising. God said, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't chastise you. If you weren't my child, I wouldn't bother with that. But because He loves me, He works with me. Because He loves me, He chastises me. Because He loves me, He's chasing me. Now, some of you, God's speaking to you. What are you doing? Waiting for the paddle? You're as dumb as I was as a teenager. Don't you think God doesn't have a way of getting your attention? God has a way of getting your attention. And Paul comes to this group of Christians in Philippi. He said, man, I want you to have the same grace that God has given me. I want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to be partakers of the grace of which I have partaken. Let me tell you what grace is. Grace is God's spiritual currency that helps us through life. Grace is God's spiritual currency that helps us through life. You can spend it on a misunderstanding. You can spend it on grief. You can spend it on a trial. You can spend it on disappointment. You can spend it on sorrow. But here's a good thing about it. The Bible says that it's fresh every morning. The Bible talks about grace for grace. We have a stream behind our house, and when it rains, it turns into a river. The Birkhead Mountain, which is about 5,000 acres, I believe, is just behind our house. And when the rainwater comes off the Birkhead Mountain, it comes down that stream. Betty McGee Creek is what it's called on your map. And it comes and it turns into a rushing river. Let me tell you something about that stream behind the house. That stream is always there. It's not run dry. It's always there. But you know what? It's always different. It's always fresh. That stream is constant in that it's always there. But every time you look at it, you're never looking at the same thing again. What is it? It's water for 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 water. You understand? The Bible said we live from grace to 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 grace. Amen. The grace that God gave me and gave my sweet wife to bury our firstborn child was enough and sufficient for that trial. But you know, the next day when we needed grace, there was fresh grace available for us. Amen. I remember going to Old Salem up there in Winston-Salem and smelling the fresh bread. Amen. Nothing like fresh bread. Amen. Now, I'll eat a day-old donut. I'll eat it. In fact, I'll peel the blue off the donut and eat it. And the white donut. Hey, it's a donut, you know. But how many of you know there's nothing quite like fresh baked bread? Amen. Nothing quite like it. We go to the amusement park. We go to the Dollywood because she's a fine example of a born-again Christian. And that's not why we go. But anyway, we go to Dollywood. And anyway, and I don't know why we go. Well, I do know why we go. I know why we used to go because I used to like to go round and round and round. Not so much anymore. But anyway, but we still go. You say, why? Cinnamon bread. Can I get a witness? Amen. And I tell you what, I just want to smell it at first. Amen. And I don't mind waiting in line. I'm not going to wait in line to go like this, but I'm going to wait in line for cinnamon bread. Amen. There's something about the aroma of that fresh baked bread. And you know what grace is? Grace is an atmosphere. There's fresh grace. And any given Sunday, think about this, in any given somebody, there is in this auditorium somebody with a fresh sorrow. A fresh disappointment, a fresh grief, fresh brokenness on any given Sunday. Oh, listen to me, my dear friend. But I got news for you. You go to a funeral and you see God just show His grace and comfort and help a family. But let me tell you something. When the time comes, there'll be new grace for you. There'll be new grace for your heartache. There'll be new grace for your trial. There'll be new grace for your need. Grace is God's spiritual currency that we spend every day as we face life. And every morning we can get up and we can have a fresh dose. Turn to John chapter 1, if you would. Turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Greatest passage in the Bible on the deity of Christ is right here in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, that's a capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you have a cross-reference Bible, you'll probably find in your cross-reference Revelation 19:13. We learn there Jesus is coming back one day, and he's identified that his name is called the Word of God. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the bright and morning stars. Many things, but he's also the Word with a capital W, the Word of God. So who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus in that passage. In the beginning was the Word, which, by the way, is why your Jehovah Witness friends that don't believe this doctrine that I'm teaching you right now have messed that verse up. Why? Because this verse in the Bible completely debunks. You'll never go back to Kingdom Hall again if you understand John chapter 1, verse number 1. And you'll never let them in your house again if you understand John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm just talking about the spirit of Antichrist. You don't let it in your house. That's what the Bible teaches. But here it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's capital W. That's Jesus. Who is that class?
Jesus.
And the Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Get down to verse number 11. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. Talking about the Word, talking about Jesus. He was rejected when he came, wasn't he? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. You didn't get saved through the bloodline. You're not saved because your grandma was a good lady. You're not saved because your daddy was a preacher. Not of blood, it's not through the bloodline, nor of the will of the flesh. You just don't decide. I'm a Christian now. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men. Someone else doesn't decide for you. Your mama baptized you as a little baby. They put some water on your head. He said, I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a baby. Your mom and dad made that decision. You didn't make that decision. That wasn't you trusting Christ. That was some fella hocus pocus over you, put a little water on your head. That doesn't make you born again. Amen. Not of the will of man, but of God. If you're born, you're born of God. And the Word, that's Jesus, was made flesh. He put on human flesh and dwelt among us, walked on this earth. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Look at it, full of grace and truth. Verse number 16, and of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Jesus Christ, our example was full of grace and truth. Grace for grace, a beautiful phrase. Can I say something, my friend? The Apostle Paul, back to Philippians 1 with me. The Apostle Paul said, he starts off, he said, listen, I want the same grace that I've experienced to be yours. I want you to be partakers of my grace. I was a liar. I was a murderer. I tortured God's people. I was a God hater. But God got my attention on the road to Damascus. And God knocked me off my horse. And God blinded me. And God showed me that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. And now He's my Savior. And it changed my life and turned my world upside down. And I want you to experience the good grace of God in your life. Now, God showed His grace in my life.
Amen.
Can I tell you that's why we're after you to get saved? That's why we're after you to get saved. Because we want you to know the joy of salvation that we know. Amen. We don't get points. We're not trying to get a blue ribbon. Sometimes people make fun of soul winning. I've heard people say, y'all soul winners, you act like you're shooting fish in a barrel at a carnival. Speak for yourself. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Be careful when you begin to criticize, because all you're doing is exposing your own heart. If that's all it means to you, I feel sorry for you. But I can tell you what stirs my heart and soul is the good grace of God. I don't have to go to hell. By the good grace of God, I've got a family, the family of God. By the good grace of God, I fellowship with the Savior every single day. He helps me able to bury my children and still smile and say, God is good. He helps me be able to comfort and encourage and help other people by His good grace. And it just so happens, I want others to have the same thing God has given me.
Amen.
And that's Philippians chapter 1. Look what Paul says back in our text. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Can I paraphrase those few verses for you? Paul said this. He said, oh, I want you to have the grace God's given me. I'm so thankful for you. Since the day you got saved, I've had such joy every time I bow to pray, bow my head to pray for you. I want you to know I believe in you. God is working in your life. And it'll keep working in your life until you meet the Lord. And because I love you and because I have you in my heart, I want you to be partakers of God's grace. I want you to know what God has done in my life. I want you to know that in your own life. Can I tell you something, my dear friend? I said, number one, grace is God's spiritual currency. Number two, grace is meant to be shared, not hoarded. Grace is meant to be shared, not hoarded. We find there that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And what he did, he came to share that grace with others. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible talks about singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I remember a young man sitting right here, 11:15 on Sunday morning. Our teenagers got to sing. And he gave a little word of testimony about the grace of God in his life. This was 11 years ago. And God started working in that service. It was an unusual service. And God began to work. And 11 adults walked the aisle and got saved that morning, got baptized. Because some kids were singing with grace in their heart. And a young man talked about the good grace of God in his life. And it was so sincere and so sweet and spirit-filled. God started working and God started moving. I didn't have time to give the message and give the formal invitation. Just people started moving, and 11 adults received Christ as Savior on that morning. You know, if you're filled up with how good God's been, then you're going to want others to experience it as well. Amen. Some of you got unsaved family members. Let me tell you something. Some of you got unsaved family members. And if you're filled this morning with grudges and filled with bitterness and life's not fair and I've been mistreated and wham, 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 call the ambulance. I think I'll go to the garden and eat worms. Why would any lost person look at your snaz, look at your face and say, oh, what a wonderful, I would like to be as miserable as they are. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. What gives you the strength for your trials? What gives you strength for the injustices of life? I tell you what it is. It's the joy of the Lord. How many, that grace just simply means God's been better to me than I deserve. How many of you say, God's been better to me than I deserve it? Amen? Yes. Yes. And when you get filled up with the good grace of God like the Apostle Paul did, you're going to want to share that with others. Oh, listen, God's grace is not meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be shared. He said, let your speech be always with grace. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. I saw it on the bus on the way home yesterday, or Friday night. I saw the good grace of God in the hearts of our kids. Man, they had so much grace, they sang on. I went to sleep. They sang literally for hours, teenagers. Nobody made them. They did that on their own. Well, you get your heart right with God and get bitterness out. And get grace in, you'll want to sing. Amen? You'll want to sing. Grace is meant to be shared and not hoarded. Colossians 4, 6 says this, speaking, let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace. Now listen to me carefully. We're talking about grace. Grace is a currency. It's a concept. Grace is a currency. You can spend it. It'll get you through life. Amen? It'll get you through anything. Heartache, sorrow, grief, injustice, being mistreated, somebody gossiping about you, somebody trying to destroy you. Grace will get you through anything. Amen? It'll get you through life. Amen? And it's fresh grace every morning. Amen? It's like a bank that never runs out. Amen? You go to somebody, you say, I'm a member, give me. And God, and here's the thing about it. You go to God, and he won't give you more than you need. He'll give you what you need. And so God comes to you, comes to the Lord, and he gives you what you need. Now, we don't know what a day brings forth, but God does. And he said this, present tense. Paul said, I had a trial. I had a thorn in my flesh. I prayed three times for God to take it away. But God didn't want to take it away. He said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So we come to God and say, God, take my problem away. And God said, now here you go. And he gives us some grace. Amen?
Amen.
He gives some grace. Now, wait a minute. That grace is not meant to be hoarded. You hoard grace and it's going to be like the manna of the Old Testament. It's going to turn to worms. But if you'll take that grace and you begin to share it, then you become a conduit of God's grace. Now think about that verse. Let your speech be always with grace. In every human interaction, you are giving or taking or sharing, which is give and take. Grace is giving. And in a good conversation, you share grace and you receive grace. You with me? But listen, if you're in a conversation and all you're doing is taking, you're good. Listen, grace is meant to be shared. God's grace is meant to be shared. Like currency, you use it, there's more. You use it, there's more. You use it, there's more. Like a stream. It goes out and in comes some more. It goes out, in comes some more. That's what God wants our life to be. And Paul said, listen, God's been so much better to me than I deserve. I was a wretch. I was wicked. I was sorry. And I was ungrateful. And God got a hold of me and he saved me. And I want you, Philippians, I want you to know the good grace of God. Let me tell you something. If grace is as God's been better to me than I deserve, then speaking with grace means I talk to people better than they talk to me. They're so ugly to me. Then you be kind to them. They curse me. Then you speak sweetly to them. Amen? By the way, the Bible says if you do that, you'll heap coals of fire on someone's head. You're like, oh boy, no, you just lost your reward. God will do that. Amen. It's some funny word pictures in the Bible. You see some guy walking around with a lump of coals on his, you know. Anyway, God said, if you do that, you'll heap coals of fire on somebody. You'd be good to them. That's why he said, somebody spites you, somebody curses you, somebody hates you. He said, you love them, you pray for them, you do good to them. That's Bible. Grace is meant to be shared, not hoarded. You know what happens to hoarded grace? It diminishes. Hoarded grace diminishes. But grace distributed means new grace. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. Luke 16:11 talks about the true riches. When you are generous with what God has given you, then God will give you more to give away. Amen? That's the whole Christian life. My pastor, Brother House, used to preach a silent sermon every so often. And here's the silent sermon. He said, where we get in trouble in Christian life is we do this. God isn't interested in making us fat and sassy. God is an investor. You put some money in investment and you lose it. If you're smart, you're not going to put it back in there again. And God's pretty smart. And God wants to get his grace to the world. He wants to get his gospel to the world. He wants his love spread abroad to the hearts of all men. And God is looking for some of his children to whom he's been gracious. He went first. He gave his all. And he wants to know what we're going to do with the good grace of God. And when we become a distributor of the grace of God, a distributor of the love of God, and we go out and God's been better to me than I deserve, and I treat people, it means this. It means I'm not going to treat you bad. Some of you are stuck on, I started to use another word. On dumb, how about that? Stuck on dumb. Why? You think you're hurting somebody. Some of you think if you forgive somebody, you're going to let them off the hook. If you forgive somebody, you're going to let yourself off the hook. So You think, here's another thing you think. If I forgive them, they won't be held accountable. First of all, you can't hold them accountable. And second of all, God's a lot better at it than you could ever be. So why not forgive, and why not let God take care of that? And when you begin to forgive, when you receive forgiveness, how many of you saved, say amen? You receive the forgiveness of God, and go give it to somebody else. And the Bible's clear about this. If you ever get to the point and say, I ain't forgiving him, God said, well, guess what? I just turned off the forgiveness spigot. And the next time you go to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm not about being saved. You understand? That's not the context. But God said this, if you won't forgive your brother, don't expect me to forgive you. And you said, I messed up, man. I can't have God's blessing on my life, what I've been doing. God, I'm so sorry. God said, yeah. Well, are you going to forgive me? God said, you're not going to forgive me? Are we forgetting something? Well, I can't forgive him. You don't expect forgiveness. I mean, he did this to me. But I need forgiveness. He clearly says, if you turn the forgiveness spigot off, I turn my forgiveness spigot off. Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about having a clean conscience before God and having the joy of the Lord. And some of you are stuck in that mode, and you God's forgiven you, and he's by his good grace you're still breathing, and somebody else. You will not distribute what God's given you. And that's why your prayer life's dried up, and that's why your joy is gone, and that's why you don't enjoy church and the things of God like others. Grace is never meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be distributed. Now, friend, if God's been better to me than I deserve, why shouldn't I be better to others than they deserve? Isn't that what grace is? If God has been better to me than I deserve, then why shouldn't I be better to others than they deserve? That's how Stephen, who, by the way, I believe the Apostle Paul, who was Saul the terrorist, I believe that's when he got a conviction. When he watched Stephen, he was in charge of the execution. The coat was laid at his feet. He was the judicial representative. He was the one presiding over the execution. And there was the apostle Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, watching Stephen be stoned. And the Bible says Stephen's face, as he's being martyred, as he's being executed, his face was like an angel. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. God, don't be too upset with them for this. God, please don't hold it against them. God, be merciful to them. And I promise you that went with old Saul. And gnawed at his heart, gnawed at his heart, gnawed at his heart until God Almighty got his attention. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, God's been so good to me. I was just the worst thing in all the world. But he saved my soul. And Philippian Christians, I want you to be a partaker of my grace. Got a question. Who have you shared your grace with lately? Who has been a partaker of God's grace in your life lately? Some of you got friends, you hadn't even asked them about their soul yet. Do you really want the trumpet to sound and one day be at the great white throne judgment and your friend comes and those angels pull your friend out of hell and bring them before the God of heaven at the great white throne judgment and that book of life is open and their name's not in the book of life and there you are. The Bible said it'll be this way. We'll witness this. And they look up at you, and this part I'm reading between the lines, but what if they can look up to you where you're seated in that great throng of believers watching this scene of the final judgment of the unsaved drawn out of hell and taken and then standing in front of God and the book of life open and they're not in the book of life. What if they look up in the stands and say, wait a minute, you were my neighbor, you were my friend, you were my co-worker, you never told me about the grace of God in your life, and I'm done without the grace of God. And those angels take them and throw them into the eternal lake of fire from which they'll never leave. Who have you shared God's grace with of late? Who have you told about how good God's been to you? How many of you say, Pastor, God's been so much better to me than I deserve? Wave it at me. He's a gracious God. That grace is meant to be shared. You find that person that's not treated you well, and you go be good to them. You find that person that slandered you and criticized you, you pray for them. You be kind to them. You find that person, and I don't mean forcing yourself on anybody. It starts in your heart, in your heart. And when the time is right, God will give you the opportunity. You can show that, but it needs to happen in your heart. You need to say, God, oh, God, I'm changing my whole spirit, my whole mind, my whole attitude. If you could look at me this way, love me, then I could certainly love someone else. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.